Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, or shall I say good morning to some, good afternoon to others, good night to others, depending on where you are in the world today. My name is Jawanza, and thank you so much for tuning in to Jawanza for Life. I've got another special show lined up for you and to all of the listeners to Blog Talk Radio, to Jawanza for Life and Set for Life. I first want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your support. I can look at the archives and tell that you're listening. You must be enjoying what you're hearing, and it is our endeavor to continue to bring you life-changing information, and this week is no different. We got a fabulous show lined up, and I'm going to let Aquia Shepsnatier, my lovely wife who's in the studio with me, let you know who our guest is going to be this week.
Hello, everybody. Our guest today is Coy Dunstan, and I just want to share a little bit of information about Coy. Coy is principal owner of Secrets of Nature Health Foods. He has developed this franchise concept over the past 25 years. His shop is located in Washington, D.C. After an honorable discharge from the United States Air Force in 1970, Coy attended and finished Milwaukee School of Engineering and Antioch School of Law. His interest in health and nutrition started when his mother was diagnosed with cancer in 1980. The cancer was attributed to too much animal fat in the diet. In an effort to assist his mother, Coy joined a company called Nature Sunshine and learned all he could about the use of herbs in fighting cancer. In 1989, Coy opened his first eating establishment dedicated to the elimination of animal fat in the diet. Today, Coy operates a 2,000 square foot store where he has the best of both worlds. He offers the best herbal supplements available and a vegetarian menu fit for the most avid vegetarians.
And this show, I guarantee, is going to be one that you're going to want to go back and listen to the archives on. Again, everybody, the shows are archived, and you can go back and listen over and over again. Tell a friend, and you can tell them about this fabulous information that you're going to hear today. And so let me move aside so we can get to our guest. Our special guest this week on Jawanza for Life is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature. I want to give the number to the studio where you can call in if you've got questions. The number here is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. Good afternoon, Brother Coy. How are you today, sir?
I say good afternoon to you and your audience and your lovely wife. I pray you all had a good week and looking forward to this one and have a great week in store.
Yes, sir. I am very excited, Brother Coy, about today's show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, my brother. And this week's show is titled How to Cure Incurable Diseases. There are a lot of people out here that are suffering from all kinds of ailments. The doctors have told them that they've got this, they've contracted that, and there's no cure for it. So now they've got to take medication for the rest of their life, or you know, they've been given this bad diagnosis, and now they are just don't know what to do or where to turn. And Brother Coy, we're here today to say that for every disease out here known to man, that there has to be a cure, and you have found that cure. And starting with your mother being your first client, please let the listeners know how you got started in this healing business, and because we do know that there's a cure for everything, and there's no need for people to suffer needlessly and to die early.
Well, I think the first thing you have to realize is that you don't believe the hype. You know, the doctors are in the business of disease, and unless it's a disease, they don't know what to do with it. So they like to keep you in a state of disease. So you have to get out of that frame of thought or that mind of thinking and start thinking something different. And the first thing you have to do is begin to understand the body and how it works. And that's basically what I did with my mother. I went home after I finished school, I went home to visit. And when I got there, my mother was explaining to me that she had just left the doctor, and he had told her to go right away to Duke University because she had this itching and burning and didn't know what to do with it, and he didn't know, he couldn't treat it where he was, so he sent her to Duke University. And me being there, my father and I got in the car and took her to the hospital and sit there all day while they did what they did. And at the end of the day, they came out and told her that she had cancer of the breast, the liver and the colon.
Wow.
And they didn't think there was much they could do for her, and eventually gave her an alternative to take the chemotherapy or get out of the hospital. And we had a conversation with my mother about it, and she asked me what would I do if it was me in that situation. And I told her I'd probably just get my stuff, pack up, and go on home and get ready to meet my maker, because, you know, I didn't know anyone that had survived chemotherapy or even liked to have it. It usually made you worse. So she kind of took my advice. She got up. We went home, and that's when I felt kind of obligated to do something to assist her, and I learned about the herbs and how to use them, and I continued to work with her until we managed to get her out of the hospital and at home on her own. And after that, the doctors were amazed and didn't know what to do. So they told her to keep doing what she was doing, and we did. We did it by not only just taking the herbs, but we learned how to fast. We learned how to clean your spirit so that you don't have a spiritual problem contributing to the disease, and you have to work with just basically reversing what you've been doing to the body. No dairy, no sugar, no meat for as long as it takes to rejuvenate. And after about 6 months, she was pronounced, said that she could go home and stay and just be careful with herself and take it easy and don't do too much. And that's what she did. And she lived 10 years after that. So I was amazed. And I think most people that knew her were amazed too. And that's kind of what set me on this track of health education, and I've been doing it ever since.
That has to be something, brother, again, to have healed your mother, and I can imagine that it's a life-changing event, and even seeing her progress, get better day by day and week by week and month by month, just seeing her, and she had to be amazed. And I mean, just seeing her faith in God and your faith in God just being reaffirmed as you watched her continue to get better and better and better, that just had to really just increase your belief and faith in God.
Oh, absolutely. I was convinced after that. If there were ever any doubt, it wasn't any after that, that there is a God and that God is alive and well, and he'll do what you need him to do if you ask him and follow his word.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Coy, we've said something. I guess you've said something that has sparked our interest. We've got a caller on the line. All right. Caller, we're coming right to you. Welcome to Juwanza for Life. You're on the air with Coy Dunstan. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hi, yes.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Yes, hi, I'm just calling in, was listening to the show today.
Did you want to speak to Tara?
Yes.
Hi, did you want to speak to our guest? Did you have a question?
Well, I'm just tuning in, so I just wanted to stand outside and listen in for a while. I'm not sure what the topic is today, but I just wanted to catch hold of you all. So I want to stand to the side, and I'll come on when I have a question, okay?
Okay, all right, that's great. We're going to just let you be on hold, and if you have a question, you can just, I guess it's press 1 and then come back on the air.
I will do. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Okay.
Again, that had to be something just to see your mother get better and just reaffirm your faith and trust in God and in God's word, because all throughout the Bible there are references to herbs and a lot of people don't take the time to really consider why are all these references in the word, you know, if there's no function for herbs. And the Bible says that God created everything and said it's good, so there has to be a function and a purpose for them.
Well, everything we need to know, I think, is pretty much in the Bible. We have the dietary laws that we sometimes forget. And the root of most any disease is a spiritual condition. You have to keep your spirit clean and not carry grudges and hate around and try to let things go and enjoy the life as it's given to you and make the best of every moment. That's really the
Well, look, I have to ask this question, because I would imagine, when you were in the process of using the herbs and changing your mother's diet from a meat-eating, dairy diet to a diet that, was meatless and didn't contain any dairy and so forth, that other people around must have seen her get better. And was there an embracing of the new way once they saw your mother get better, the people around you, maybe brothers and relatives that maybe knew her condition and now saw her get better and knew that it was as a result of her following your recommendations just concerning the herbs and the changing of the diet? Was there a rush to know more from those who actually witnessed it along with you?
Well, it wasn't really a rush. I mean, not exactly a rush, but, you know, people understood and they took notice, but it took a while for them to, when it started happening to them, then it became a little more evident and they received it a little more. They might call and ask me something or ask me what would I do in this case or that case. But it wasn't like a rush, no. We're still waiting on the rush, and the rush haven't gotten here yet.
Okay.
But there is a steady movement toward people realizing that they can do a lot to maintain good health, and you can feel the trend moving that way, and people are more interested now in nutrition and how to take care of the body and what the body really needs. Still a lot of misinformation out there, but it's still, the information is getting better and people are receiving it much better. So, it's coming, but we haven't had the rush yet. Yeah.
And again, we want to just, for those that's just tuning in, this is Brother Coy Dunstan, or King Coy Dunstan, and he's in the bio earlier today, he also mentioned that he cured his mother of cancer. The doctor had diagnosed that his mother had breast cancer, liver cancer, and colon cancer, and Coy discovered the cure through using herbs, and his mother went on to live an additional 10 years.
That's awesome. That's an awesome testimony in and of itself. Brother Coy, I'd like to ask you, because this is a time of year, it's summer, where people are doing a lot of family reunions, people are doing cookouts, and on the majority of a lot of these plates, there's going to be some meat, or what we know as meat today. There's going to be some dead animal flesh.
Yeah.
Would you talk about, because you had to take your mother off of meat, that's one of the things that you did, eliminated from her diet was meat. Would you talk about the effects of meat? Because it is such a staple in the American diet. Most people, if you're not a vegetarian, an avowed vegetarian, there's most dinner tables tonight, there's going to be some meat on the table. If you could talk about the effects of meat, because a lot of people are just either misinformed or, you know, it's just not something that they really care about, but whether you care about it or not, it's not going to stop the effects that it has on your body.
Yep.
So, Brother Coy, if you don't mind, if you could talk about the effects of meat.
Well, the meat is just what it is. It's animal flesh, and your body is not designed to process or digest meat. And if you do eat it, you got to be careful what kind you eat, and you got to be careful where it comes from and how it's prepared. Because just this week we saw two or three stories of meat plants being shut down because of the way they handled the meat. Not so much that they did anything wrong, it's just that they contaminated, cross-contaminated, and have them sleeping in their own feces. All of those things contributed to them being shut down and a large amount of meat was recalled out west. I don't know if it was on this side of the coast. But what's happening is because of the drought, we don't have food to feed the animals, and that's a big problem with the environment. The animals eat all the grass that we need to balance the environment. And so the meat not only destroys the body, it destroys the planet because we can't grow enough food to feed the animals. And the food that we are growing is void of nutrition and there's nothing in it, so we use a lot of antibiotics and chemicals and stuff in the meat to keep it from getting sick. And at the same time, we are making it sick by giving them all of these antibiotics and hormones to make them grow faster. So when we eat it, that all the hormones that they've put in it, all the antibiotics they've put in it, all this poison they've done to it, all the shock it has gone through is still in the meat. And when we eat it, all of that goes into us, and it gives us this jittery, crazy stuff that we're doing now, going around shooting people, like Chicago, just this weekend, they had about 50 murders. And then you post every day on the street, you find someone doing something crazy, shooting the mama, breaking into bedrooms, killing girls. I mean, stuff, crazy stuff going on. I think a lot of it is the energy that we get from the food that we eat, and this is just the violent energy that we produce, and it creates all kind of havoc throughout society in a number of ways. It keeps the hospitals full, the doctors happy, and
What about those who are proponents of free-range animals, okay? You know, those who are supposedly raised and cultivated in a certain environment. You know, supposedly I've heard that meat is supposed to be better. What would be your thoughts on free-range animals?
That's the whole story behind it. Is they have less stress in their growing up and processing. They're grown out in the on the land and the wild, and they're not shocked and trauma when they kill them. They're just basically raised on the land and then killed in a humane way. But it's still a
murder them in a humane way.
Well, I guess it's kind of like legitimate rape, I guess. If there's such a thing. But yeah, that's the story that they give us in order to keep us doing what we are doing without thinking about what we're doing. But the whole thing is, it's still flesh, and unless you have organic dirt or organic grass or all the things that you need to make a healthy, nutritious meat, you're still getting some of the poison that's going around in the air just through the elimination of carbon dioxide and all the toxins in the air is settling in the dirt and it's going into the dirt, into the water table. So
okay.
It's just about, I think, it's just about impossible to get an organic piece of meat. So if you want to feel better by eating it, by calling it free range, that's fine. But it's still, I think, just as toxic, if not more toxic than the processed meat that they use through the factories.
Well, Coy, what about people that may use maybe a scripture from the Bible that says that, you know, everything that God made is good? I think I've heard that before, and that was maybe for, you know, in the beginning when God said...
To justify eating meat?
Right, justify eating meat. So what about, you know, situations where sometimes you hear people may say, you know, everything God made is good, and, you know, and... there's a scripture, I can't remember the scripture, that says about, you know, all the herbs of the land is good, or, you know, that particular scripture. I'm not really, I don't really remember that particular scripture, but, you know, what do you say about that when somebody addresses something like that?
Use a scripture to justify the eating of meat. Because I've heard that as well, that, okay, well, that was in the Old Testament, or that was before the, you know, dispensation of grace, or, you know, whatever. But now that there's been a change since God's original plan, supposedly in the Garden of Eden, there was obviously no meat on the list that he gave Adam when he said, this is going to be your food. That's found in Genesis, and he gives a list of things to eat, and no dead flesh is on that list. And I always ask myself, well, God must have known something to leave it off. But then you speak to people who say, well, God had a change of heart somewhere along the line, and then said, now you can eat this. So I guess to agree with Queer Chef Satir, what do you say about as far as the using of scripture to justify the
eating of meat?
Well, a lot of people do, and they seem to skip over the part that doesn't apply to the dietary law. They skip over the dietary law because the dietary law gives you a pretty good outline of what you can eat in terms of flesh and what not to eat. But even with the dietary law today, that's one, you're skipping over the dietary law. And number two, they say if you pray over it, it'll make it okay. That's supposedly where grace comes from. We say grace over it and invoke God's spirit to come down and make this food, this poison, unpoison. Somehow we think that's going to happen. And those two things, basically what they use to justify eating that. But I say that I would say to that is, I have not seen that in the Bible. The Bible have not said that you should eat something that was forbidden in the Old Testament. The New Testament haven't said that you should eat it. I haven't found anything in there to say you can eat it. And because this sheet comes down that I think it was Peter, the sheet came down from the sky with all this meat on it.
I remember
God told him to eat and all of that. That I didn't get it that that was okay for us to eat meat either. It may be okay for some people, but if you it depends on where you want to be. If all you have to eat is meat, then fine, you can eat that. But if you can do better, then you should be able to do better by understanding what your body needs and doing a better job of providing that. And there are ways to do that other than eating meat.
And just want to give you the call-in number again. It's 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727.
Okay, Brother Coy, also, would you talk about, if you would, the effects of dairy? Because, again, these are things that go on a lot of people's plates. I mean, we're talking about family reunions, you know, holidays, birthdays. I mean, we're famous for cooking. We love to cook, and we love soul food, and a lot of soul food is cooked with dairy, and, you know, a lot of products that we've come to find out in years later that are making us unhealthy.
Yeah.
Brother Coy, if you could please talk about dairy and the effects of milk, eggs, cheese, butter,
yeah,
and all of the things that find its way into a lot of our meals.
All right, I would say to that the only milk a human should ever drink is mother's milk, the milk of the person that you came out of. That's the milk that you, the only milk you should ever drink in life. Now, we have gotten into this cow's milk because, I guess, traditional, we have these dairy farmers and we have the agricultural industry and we want to support the food chain and all of that. So we get hooked on this dairy product knowing, they know, or the people that make the milk know, that this product, this milk that they give us is basically a toxic substance. It contains no nutritional value. It has nothing that it will offer the body in terms of life, and it's only another way to get more of the antibiotics and the hormones and all the other stuff that they give the animals to get it into the humans and cause us to start doing what the cows and the animals and all that do and just go crazy. So I would say that the dairy product is probably the most one of the most, I'd say, in terms of respiratory problems, one of the most responsible. The dairy, the milk is probably the most responsible for the asthma, the allergies, the sinuses, the upset stomachs, the just generally feeling bad feelings that we go around with. That's usually an allergy to milk or dairy products, the ice cream, the cheese, all of those things. They are very hard to digest, and the body will not pass through. They will not pass through the body in a fast enough time to keep it from breaking down. Now, I know some people say, well, I've drunk milk all my life, and I did this, and my mama did that. But the fact is that if you look at the milk now and the way it's processed and pasteurized, anything pasteurized is dead in the first place. You
okay.
are eating a dead food, and you need to eat live food. Now, the only thing live that comes out of a cow is maybe the pure butter, the butter that comes from the milk from the cow that's unpasteurized. It turns into a curd, and you churn it, and you get a butter. That may be the only thing. There are some enzymes left there, like acidophilus and probiotics in that milk that might be beneficial to human digestion. But other than that, once it's pasteurized, it's something we should never eat. And we know it causes a lot of allergies and diseases as a result, because the body can't digest it, and it builds up in the body, and it creates problems.
Well, Brother Coy, you, excuse me, let's talk about, if we can, some uncurable diseases that they've stated were incurable, and we had to kind of lay a foundation for people who, there might be people hearing this information for the first time. You might either have been either suffering from something, or you know someone that's suffering from a certain disease that has been labeled incurable. I've heard cancer, they say, is incurable. HIV/AIDS has been said to be incurable. I've heard along the way that herpes, that there was no cure for herpes, or high blood pressure, that once you're on high blood pressure, you've got to take that medication for the rest of your life. We did a show dispelling the myths on a lot of this, Brother Coy. Let's look at cancer, because that's a major one. That's one that a lot of people are either suffering from, or everybody, if they've never had cancer, everybody knows somebody that's died from cancer. So if we could talk about just cancer being one that they say is incurable, but having spoken with you before, Brother Coy, you say that cancer is one of the easiest, if not the easiest, disease to cure.
Well, diseases are easy to cure if you understand how you got them. But the thing is the first thing you have to understand with this disease state or incurable state is that, yes, everything is going to be incurable if you keep doing the same thing and not making the change or trying to make a difference in what you do. You're going to keep getting the same thing. You're going to keep getting sick. And, yes, if you keep doing the same thing, there is no cure. But if you learn that you have to reverse what you're doing, begin to give the body more of what it needs, then you can address a disease in a general manner across the board. That's the first thing you should do when you're told that you have a condition, is stop whatever you're doing and turn around and go the other way. And
that will
make a big difference in your thinking and how you feel about getting well and being an incurable disease. I say anything that's preventable is not incurable. So we have to understand that, yes, we have to make a difference. We have to do something different if we want a difference. And then we can begin to understand that any disease can be addressed if we just begin to detox the body. In other words, stop doing what you've been doing and do something different with eating more grains, nuts, seeds, raw fruits and vegetables, give the body more vitamins and minerals, and drink more water, just the basic stuff that we need to do. You'll find that those incurable diseases can all of a sudden disappear and become curable.
You know, it's very sad to think that, you know, there are people out here that are going back and forth to doctor's appointments, back and forth taking prescriptions and so forth, and spend years, countless time and energy, not to mention money, going back and forth to these appointments. And that, for a large majority of people, has become their life. I mean, they're taking pills daily. I mean, they've got weekly appointments with the doctor. And then to just think that all of this, like you mentioned something, you just said that anything that's preventable can't be incurable, you know. So just to think that, number one, this could be prevented, and number two, that it's curable, that all of the years spent going back and forth to doctors, taking medications, suffering, dealing with side effects and all of this, was not necessary in the first place and could have been healed, whatever the situation is, could have been healed within months.
Yeah, and some people get so addicted to that process until they can't come off of the medication. They would probably kill them if they came off the medication, just the shock. They couldn't get it in their mind that they really don't need it, or they don't understand what's happening when they stop taking it. So they keep taking it in order to not go through the healing process. So they are really condemning themselves to the medication for the rest of their life.
And unfortunately, people are deceived by the fact that even if, say for instance, they were cured, maybe through going through the chemotherapy or something like that, you know, through, you know, cancer treatments and things like that, and then, but what they don't realize, it may be years later and something else has broken down. It may be that liver is, they having problems with that liver or that kidneys, and it's a side effect of the chemo treatment. So now they're dealing with a whole different issue. They may have, something may have treated that temporarily, the cancer issue, but now something else is breaking down.
Well, they've been tricked. They've been tricked into thinking they're okay, but unless they stop doing what they're doing and do something different, that even though they may go through a process of chemotherapy or radiation and think they feel better, if they go back to eating or they had heavy meat or drinking a lot of milk or doing too much sugar or that kind of stuff, it's going to come back. It's going to come back with a vengeance, and it's going to be much more terrible the next time around.
And, Coy, what about when a person has surgery? Because I've always heard that once you have surgery, once your body is opened up,
You mean the cancer?
Yes. Okay. Once the cells, the oxygen or something hits the cell, it just spreads in a way.
That's
talking
right,
specifically about cancer.
Yeah, I think we do know that cancer cannot live in an oxygenated environment. In other words, if you have a right amount of oxygen They're not, the cell is not deprived of oxygen. You'll never be sick. We pretty much know that. But the trick is, how do you get it there, and when do you know you got it to where you have the right amount of oxygen in the body? But what happens when they go in and do this, they got this thing that they do, that go in to see whether or not it's what they say it is, then you opening up that area to air, and if they do actual surgery, you're going to open it up to even more air, and that's when you're going to have a problem with it spreading and not being able to contain it, because it's going to spread all over the rest of the body. It's not going to be contained anymore. See, the body and its immune system will contain that disease where it is, and if you learn that you have it, then you want to just do whatever it takes to get that area out of your body, and there are ways to do that through a number of health modalities. So, yeah, you have to understand that once they cut on you, or once they cut it out, or once you go through the surgery, you can't put it back, number one, and number two, it generally will not correct the problem unless it's something that's broken or bent or just needs alignment. But oftentimes you don't have to do the surgery to correct conditions like that, and the issue is knowing where and how to do it. There are a number of things you can try or go through before you actually go through the surgery that might correct the condition without actually being cut or even cutting it out, because once they cut it out, like your thyroid or your liver or whatever they cut out, you know, you can't grow it back. You can't put it back.
Right.
So until they can.
Brother Quick, could you give a number for yourself? Because I'm sure people are listening to you and they want to learn more, and you do, you know, answer questions for people that want more information. Could you give the telephone number to your studio? I mean, to your studio, to your store.
I mean, the telephone number is under Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C., 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest, 20032. And the telephone is 202-562-0041. That's 202-562-0041. And I'm there usually from like 8 in the morning to 6 or 7 in the evening. And you can always leave a message if nobody answers, and someone will get back to you as soon as we can. But that's the best way to catch me. If you have some more questions or you want to talk with me, just give me a ring. If I don't answer, just leave me a message and I'll call you back.
So if you want to talk to Coy right now, give us a call here at 347-324-5727. If you got any questions about this whole process, I mean, you've heard about herbs, or you've heard about becoming a vegetarian, you've had some thoughts or ideas about it, you might have heard some things about it or whatever, don't take it from somebody that doesn't know. Okay, take it from somebody that does know. This brother has cured his mother of cancer, and there are many out there who are either suffering from it or know someone who is. So if you'd like to get more information on some alternative ways of dealing with situations like that, it's not just cancer. I mean, HIV, AIDS, herpes, high blood pressure. I mean, shingles. Someone asked me about shingles recently. Coy, I don't know, what is shingles? Can you talk about that in a way to address that issue?
Well, a shingles, again, is a skin condition. It actually, you can actually come through the skin, like it's just like your skin cracks up. And worst case scenario, it gets so bad until you can't even sit or lay down or rub against anything. But again, that's an immune based disease. It's primarily something that you want to use to clean the blood. You want to use it to keep your immune system strong. One of the most advantageous amino acids to use is lysine. Is proven to have some benefit, S-L-Y-S-I-N, and there are other things that you can do to soothe that condition once you're in it, or to keep it from coming back as often, or to slow it down, or whatever. There are things you can do with it. I don't know if anyone has a cure, but if you begin to do what you're supposed to do, you can pretty much eliminate it if you stay on track and not do the things to trigger it. It can be managed pretty good these days.
And supposedly it's happening to older people who had chickenpox when they were younger, and now all of a sudden this has surfaced. And the thing that I find interesting, along with a lot of other type of medicine that doctors prescribe, not only do they tell you to continue to take it, but it has so many bad side effects. It says, you know, your liver, you might, you know, you got to be, your blood might have to be tested, or, you know, because it might damage your liver or just different things like that, which a lot of times that doesn't make sense to me because you're taking something that is possibly going to cause another disease.
Yeah. Well, I think it all started when, like, this is happening to the baby boomers now, people born in the late 40s. To about the early 60s or something, the baby boomers, they're having this problem. And I think a lot of it is coming from the fact that we had these vaccinations when we were children. It were mandatory vaccinations that we had to have. So I think a lot of this stuff was put in us in an effort to try to cure some other disease, which was, I think, the vaccinations that or what was in the vaccinations did not do us very much good, and we'll find that even I think my children would probably be even more vaccinated than I was, and we may be in, headed for other things to come in that respect. Yes,
and that's why and it's not even associated with that. A lot of times people don't even associate it because it's years and years later, and you don't even associate it.
That's correct. That's
Brother correct. Quinn, could you talk about? There's been a there was a book written several years ago, and called Eating Right for Your Blood Type. I've heard some proponents for it say that this is the way to go. Others say it's hogwash. What do you say, brother? Can you eat right for your blood type? Does your blood type make a difference? Are there certain foods that you feel you should eat based on your blood type?
I would say if someone is prone to particularly a O positive person or A positive person, if they notice that when they eat a certain way that it makes them feel bad, I would probably pay some attention to it. I think at least you should understand what the author is saying there in terms of eat right for your blood type. Certain blood types should not eat meat. Some blood types may be able to eat a certain limited amount of meat. And if you find that you are not feeling right, that's one of the things or one checkpoint you can check off your list. If you think that it might be an issue, check it out. If it proves to be true, fine. If not, you move on. But it, you know, you've done it. But I wouldn't dismiss it. I would, if I had a condition, I would check all of that to make sure that it's nothing that I'm doing or anything that I can do that I'm not doing that's causing me to feel the way I feel.
What about race, Coy? Are there certain foods that, for example, you know, black people, members of the African race or descendants of the African race are high, you know, we have higher concentration of melanin than other races. As a result of that, are there certain dietary supplements that we need to have, certain minerals maybe that we should, focus on as opposed to other races that might not need a particular amount or a certain concentration of a particular mineral simply because of whatever melanin concentration they might have?
Yeah, I think that's a real problem, and I think it's something that's probably been overlooked in terms of health care, period. I think one of the most deadly minerals that we probably accept as being okay and no one ever complains about is sugar. And sugar has been just found to be one of the most deadliest things for women that is just about it since Pepsi-Cola. And Pepsi-Cola is sugar. But what happened is, I think particularly for black people, sugar is a very sensitive sensitive kind of a supplement to put in our body. It affects us differently, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And it makes us forget, number one. So we go around in circles like we don't know what we're doing, and we cast the same question over and over again. We get sucked into smoking and other drugs. And I think it all comes from sugar because we all have this bent towards sugar, and I think we have more of a bent than some people. But just on that example alone, just even if you got all your other minerals, if you're eating sugar, sugar can wipe it out just like that. So we have to be mindful of the things that we use first that creates even more of a problem than eating what we're saying we shouldn't eat. So it's not like I'm saying that you can never have sugar or you can never have meat, but you have to understand that there's a price you pay when you engage in eating those things, and you have to understand what they are before you can begin to make a difference in how they might affect your body. But we often like, you know, we can't eat dinner unless we have dessert, and we can't eat unless we have a cup of sugar. We can't get up in the morning unless we have a cup of sugar. So I think sugar is probably, if there's one thing we need to work on, is to reduce the amount of sugar that we eat. And sugar is in just about everything that we eat these days, including some of the meat and particularly a lot of the fast foods.
What about these artificial substitutes?
They're not much better. They've found that any kind of sugar, any kind of sweetener will have the same effect on the body. It will create this gene. It will corrupts the blood cells in a way that causes them to block the arteries to the heart and create heart attacks, or to the head, circulation to the head, to create strokes. They find that oftentimes sugar is the culprit and not so much the meat or the cholesterol or all the other stuff we've been told it has been. It's our addiction to the sugar, because that's the first drug we get, and most of us, we give sugar as a way of saying, I love you, but if you love me, give me some salt sometimes.
I hear you, bro. All the stuff that, I mean, that we find on our tables is oftentimes not good for. I was just looking at just the things that we that are just normal on our in our kitchen. For example, white rice, white sugar, white flour, salt, okay, cow's milk. You know what I mean? It's
and
just a lot of white.
Understand why that is? It's because it's the way they preserve it, so it can last long enough to feed us. And unless you can feed yourself, you don't have much of an option with that. But yeah, that's primarily to preserve it, or take any life out of it and basically kill it, and in order to preserve it long enough for us to cook it and eat it. And that process itself, that is the beginning of a disease, because you're eating dead food, and it's not gonna give your body what it needs to stand up, and you're eventually gonna break down from a lack of vitamins and minerals and nutrition in your system.
Well, Brother Coy, which advice would you give to someone? Because it, as with anything, like with churches, you might have, or even in Christianity, you might have 1,000 different sects, you know what I mean? Methodist, Baptist, you know, holiness, you know, all of that, different. But now even with vegetarians, you've got vegan, you've got raw foodists, you've got fruitarians. I mean, you know, which way would you advise? And I know it depends a lot largely on how far a person wants to go with it, you know, what level of wellness do they want to, you know, achieve. But what would be your suggestion for somebody looking at it? Would you say that the stages go as such, vegetarian, vegan, then raw food, or then fruitarian? Or, I mean, what would you say would be the hierarchy of holistic eating, if you will?
From where we are now, we would have to go to just understanding vegetarianism, where as a vegetarian, you might be allowed some flesh in the diet, and that's the dietary law, basically, allows some flesh. But once you go to vegan, then you have no flesh and nothing from an animal in your diet. We are ways from that. I don't know if we'll ever get there. And then a fruitarian, you're just basically living on fruit. Then there's a breatharian that can just live on the air and the breath they breathe.
Wow.
And you can go, I think it's another level somewhere. But I know the breatharian is the one that you don't see many of those around. Because
I guess not. They don't eat no food.
That's correct.
You probably don't see too many of them.
Yeah.
Not for long, anyway. Wow, I mean, because the body does have to eat. I mean, it does have to consume something,
well,
right? I mean, how do you become a vegetarian and not eat?
Well, we've been told that, but again, I would say we need to understand the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that we have to eat. The Bible doesn't say that we have to eat flesh, or we have to eat food. Even say we have to eat the bread of life, or eat from the Spirit of God, or if you read and believe, and you can live on, man cannot live on bread alone. So you just need something other than food that to live, and it's also an indication that you can live without food. So if you can live without food or with food, is learning how to, it's your mind. It's all in your mind. You have to get your mind to a place to where you open it up wide enough to when you read, you understand what you read and you understand what it means. Because most of the things that we do are not in the Bible, and we didn't get it from the Bible. It's because someone is trying to sell us something that
mm-hmm.
we get involved in these things that create disease, and someone is getting rich off of your ignorance. So you,
yep.
I think
another
you
thing that it appears that food has turned into is a social type of thing, you know, that, you know, festive and social and fellowshipping, and, you know,
right.
it always focuses and centers around food.
Food,
especially in the church. Unfortunately, there are a lot of overweight people that, you know, let's go out and eat after church, and
yeah.
but under this fellowship feeling, because, you know, it's the lust of the flesh, so sometimes you overindulge,
right.
and
right.
it does make you feel good, but then later on you have to suffer for, you know, the consequences of indulging or overindulging.
Yeah, but sugar, I still say sugar, like when we say in the Bible said, you can eat freely. You can eat freely of all of these other plants, but of this one you cannot eat. And we said that that is the apple. But I think what the literary meaning of that might be is that we need to stay away from sugar, because sugar gets us out of control and makes us want to eat all the time and makes us want to do everything else that we do all the time. It's a way of feeding the flesh. So we have, I think the message is don't bend to the flesh so much. Tame the flesh. If you like something too much, stop it. if you want to make a difference, you know, change what you do. So you have to reverse oftentimes. And you find that you can live off of a lot of things that you thought you couldn't live off of, and you don't really need the things that you do live off of. A lot of the things that we eat is just because we're feeding the flesh. We're satisfying the flesh.
You know, Brother Coy, it's so amazing to me, just even as we're having this conversation, to, you know, it just drives home the point that we are more powerful than we think that we are, and we have the ability to affect and change our reality to a better reality. We have that potential. We have that power to do that. You have the
and
power
no one
to lose
do that,
that
for you, but you. No one else can do that for you.
Right.
That's the realization. And until mm-hmm. you get enough backbone to stand up and say, this is where I stand, you will continually be trampled on.
You know, it's there's somebody out there that's listening right now that's going to hear this today, and they're going to be saying to themselves, you know what, they're right, I'm ready. I'm ready to make the change. Now, how would you advise someone who's hearing this information? They want more information. First of all, I'm going to give your number again so they can call you if they have questions. The number, by the way, to the brother you're speaking to, Brother Coy Dunstan, is area code 202-562-0041. That's to Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. That number again is 202-562-0041. Now, Brother Coy, for somebody who's hearing this information and saying, you know, I'm ready to make the change, you know, I'm ready to drop this weight, I'm ready to get myself together. The doctor told me I have blood pressure. I'm tired of these pills. Doctor told me I've got diabetes. I'm ready to get off this, whatever they're on. You know, how do they begin? What's the first step?
Well, I think it's realizing that it's not just one thing you have to do. You kind of have to make a shift change. You got to make a dynamic change in terms of your whole life. And you have to understand, first of all, that you need to understand what you're doing. You just can't go change and be doing something. So you got to study. You got to understand what your body needs. You need essential fats. You need vitamins and minerals. You need carbohydrates. And you need the basic food groups, the grain, nuts, and seeds. You need good, clean water. You have to understand that that's what your body needs. It doesn't need the Coke. It doesn't need the Pepsi. It doesn't need the cigarettes. It doesn't need all that other stuff. And you have to be disciplined enough or strong enough to bring your body under your subjection and
mm-hmm.
focus on what it needs. And once you get to that point, you can move pretty fast, because then you're going to drop the things that you shouldn't be eating. You're going to know that if I eat this, is not good for the body, and that you need that understanding so that you know why you're doing what you're doing and to give you the motivation to continue at doing the right thing. So first of all, you have to know the right thing, and then getting your mind to do it is just getting the discipline, and you can do that maybe through fasting if you have a real problem that you really need to address or some disease that you want to address. I think the first thing you want to work toward is learning how to fast and work up to about at least a 21-day fast.
Wow.
Do that, and then
now you mean a complete fast? You mean total abstinence from any solid food?
Well, for at least a week of that 21 days. I'm not trying to make you go 40 days yet. But a three-week fast, the first week you're going to be cleansing and eating, changing your diet, stopping all the things you shouldn't do. The second week you can actually do 100% fast. If anything, just water, or maybe just if you're going to do anything, it would be just water. It wouldn't be any food. Then the last week you just reverse that and start with light, liquidy foods and go back into solid foods. So, yeah, that's just a quick 21-day fast. It's not difficult and it's not hard to do, but you need to know how to do it, and you need to follow some directions in terms of doing things in time. So,
brothers, I heard you say it that it's not hard to do, but I heard somebody else out there say 21 days with no food. I mean, for some people, that's totally inconceivable. You know,
well, it may seem so. They can do everything else 21 days. I mean,
good point. Good point.
When it comes
that's a good
to something
point. Do something that's going to help you
yeah,
for
why,
21
why
days.
No
brother,
problem.
If you could, in those closing moments, if we could talk about stress briefly, because there's so many people out here that are just stressed out. Many of these jobs got folks stressed out. They're fearful. You know, either they've lost a job or they feel like they're about to lose their job or lose their mind just simply because of everything that's happening on in the world. You turn on the TV, somebody else done got shot. Somebody done got robbed. I mean, there's so much stuff that can raise your blood pressure and cause you to be stressful. If you could talk about the effects that stress has on the body and what we can do to kind of eliminate stress from our lives.
Well, again, stress is one of those things that destroy the cell. Most diseases will come from stress. Stress will cause your body to not function properly and shut down, and it will lead to you feeling like you're sick. So stress is probably the number one. All disease, I think, will come from some kind of stress. So we have to understand we are in a stressful situation. We have to understand that there are some things that we can do to reduce the amount, reduce the effects of the stress on our body. And one of them is make sure you take your vitamin C, at least 20,000 milligrams a day of 5,000 milligrams per teaspoon non-acidic vitamin C. That should be a basic. You don't have to do it every day, but at least most of the week you should do that, because that's the best way to reduce the stress, the effects of stress on the body, and
okay.
No one ever tells us that. But then you have to learn how to look at the signs of stress and figure out how you're going to make a change in your life so you can get out of that stress. And that may mean giving up that second job. It may mean telling the boss that you're not going to work extra hours. It may mean doing some things that might not be very popular. But you have to learn that your health comes first. I know if you've got children in school and all the other stuff, and you got to pay this and you got to pay that, that's got to happen. But you have to get to a place to where you can reduce as much stress in your life as you can, and you'll find that you don't realize that until it's too late. So if you're going to get a lot of stress in your life, you want to do it at a time when you can manage it and when you can let it go if you have to. So stress is a deadly, deadly thing. And breathing, exercising, all of those things will increase your body's ability to deal with stress. But if you're going through something and it's a stressful time and you're not doing anything about it, you're asking for trouble. So realize the stress in your life and do something to reduce that stress. Whatever you can do, walk, exercise, eat differently, take your supplements. all of those things you need to do just to get your body to maintain at a high.
And if you could talk about, we've got 5 minutes left in the show, brother, just talk about patience, if you would, because a lot of times people embark on a new path and they're looking for immediate results. And you could start to see immediate results in many cases. In some cases, it might take a little longer to see the results that you're looking for. So, Brother Coy, if you could talk about the need for patience.
Yeah, being patient, part of that is learning how to do what you're trying to do, understand what you're trying to do and what you should expect. But, patience is important because it's going to take time. Your body didn't get sick overnight, and it's not going to heal overnight. So if you start taking some herbs or start eating differently and it's not quite the way you feel or you feel a little bit worse, then just be patient and don't give up and work yourself through it. You're going through something. You're going through your path to health. And it's going to be some times when stuff's going to come out that shouldn't be in you, and you're going to have to go through the process of getting it out and doing whatever you can to help getting it out. And there are things you can do that. But once you get through the initial phase of the cleansing and the detoxing or whatever you want to call it, then you'll begin to feel like you are normal again, and you'll have your work on getting your energy level back and building yourself back up. But first you clean out, and then you build up, and that'll be the process of getting through that and understanding what happens in each stage. The cleansing process, you might not feel the greatest every day, but it shouldn't last long. And if you keep with it and stay with it and keep doing what you're doing, you will pass through that stage and you'll get into another stage where your energy level will go up and you will have more ability to do things.
And Coy, what would you say to people that are listening today that they may not necessarily have cancer or a particular disease, but it may be a loved one, you know, a husband, a wife, a child, or whatever, and it's very stressful for them? What would you say to them in that particular situation? Because, of course, you don't need somebody else's health breaking down when they're trying to be strong for someone else. But what would you recommend to them?
Well, first of all, understand the condition. People that have been recently diagnosed with cancer or some degenerative disease, they may get a little resentful and they may be hard to get along with. So you have to maybe read the Bible with them or talk with them or pray with them or do anything you can to get them to settle down and realize that because someone said that they're going to die, that it's not necessarily true that they would die, that there is a way out and there's always a way out, and do what you can to show them the way out, because they are confused. They've been told they're going to die and they're going to go, "Why me?" And they're going to be crying and all kind of stuff, and they're going to be resentful. So you have to learn how to deal with resentment. And in dealing with that resentment, you can heal that person or you can kill it. So you learn to be kind and loving with a person and gently coerce them in a direction that will benefit them and give them the willingness and the will to live. Because until they decide that, yes, I can live and will not die, it will not happen.
Everybody, you have heard for the last hour the voice of Brother Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's a master healer. If you've got questions, if you know somebody that's sick, that's ill, this man has cured his mother of cancer and countless other people of diseases ranging from high blood pressure to arthritis, diabetes, I mean, and countless other diseases. I mean, so if you have further questions, Brother Coy, could you please give your information again so that people that might want to get in contact with you, they might their situation might be a bit sensitive to discuss over the air, so they might want to contact you. Could you give information on how they might reach you, give your website, ways that people can get in contact with you?
Well, I'm located in Washington, D.C. at 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20032. The telephone number is 202-562-0041. The website is secretsofnaturehealth.net. And the office hours are from 8 to 6 every day except Sunday. But again, if you have a question or you want to talk to me and I don't answer the phone for some reason, just leave a message and I will get back to you as soon as time permits, to address or to talk with whatever your concerns are.
And we want to say also that Coy is a regular on Jawanza for Life, so he will be on once a month. And so, therefore, it is your opportunity to call in and speak to him. But, again, he's available for you to call him anytime, like he's gave you the hours, the times to contact him.
And I just want to say to those that are listening, again, you cannot be afraid to take a chance. This is your life. This is your life. It's time to start taking control of your life, to start taking your healing into your own hands. If you got a doctor's report and you don't like it and you want a second opinion, or, you know, you'd feel like there's an alternative way, then there's information that's out there. There are books. You can go to the library. You can pick up a book on herbs. You can research herbs, or you can give my guest a call. There are success stories going on every day. Everybody that gets diagnosed with cancer doesn't die. It's not a death sentence. Okay, it could be just a wake-up call, okay? So, but there are brothers like Brother Coy out here who are healing and have done it repeatedly over and over and over and over again from diabetes. I don't care what you got. Diabetes, is it high blood pressure? Is it gout? Is it shingles? Is it cancer? Is it AIDS? Whatever it is, there's a cure for it. So don't be afraid to seek the alternative. All you've got nothing to lose but your life and everything to gain.
And those of you who may not have a disease, or, you know, you may be healthy, and that's wonderful right now, but it's always better to maintain good health. Is that right, Coy?
Yes, absolutely. It's better to prevent than to get, yes.
That's right. And so, you know, listening to this information, you know, taking your supplements, eating right, trying to make that transition before something happens is always easier.
And we're going to be, again, as the Queen Chef Natea said, we're going to be having Brother Coy on regularly to discuss this health thing, because it's something you got to keep in front of you. A show like this on herbs and talking about vegetarian healthy living is not a show you can hear one time and benefit from. You got to hear it over and over and over and over again. And Coy has an awesome store in D.C. where he actually cooks and prepares healthy food. And maybe even, Coy, we can get you on and talk about some recipes to help people, because they say, okay, I want to make the change, but now how do I even prepare this food?
Well, what do I eat?
Exactly. So maybe next time we have Brother Coy on, we can talk about some alternative things in that regards as well. Brother Coy, I want to thank you again, sir, as always, for being my guest on Jawanza for Life. It's truly an honor and a pleasure. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come sit and talk with us today.
Well, I thank you for having me, and I pray you both a great week.
Thank you so much. To all of the listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning in to Jawanza for Life. Don't forget, you can join my Facebook at Jawanza for Life on Facebook. And I just want to say again, thank you for all of your support. Thank you for the listeners. Again, you can keep going back and back to the archives over and over and over again. Tell somebody, tell a friend about this, because we want to put information out there that's going to help people to live long, live healthy, and live wealthy.
And also, don't forget about Set for Life, which airs on Saturdays from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. We have an awesome guest that's coming up this Saturday, and that's our business segment. So it is about holistic health. It's about being well-rounded. So that's another show that we have that we would like for you to tune into. So we hope to hear from you.
That's right. Until the next time, everybody, we love you. Thank you so much for listening. Brother Coy, I'll be in touch, sir.
Yes, sir. I appreciate
all
you
right.
having me, and good evening to your audience.
All right. Peace and blessings, everybody. That was Brother Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. I'm going to give his number again in case you just tuned in at the last minute. In case you want to get in contact with Brother Coy, you've got questions, I'm sure he'd be more than happy to entertain. If you have, for example, you want to do a workshop, you're in the D.C. area or whatever, Maryland, D.C., and Virginia, you want to do a workshop and on holistic health, Brother Coy is your man. Give him a call at 202-562-0041. That's 202-562-0041. Again, I look forward to all of the upcoming shows with Brother Coy. I'm really excited about him coming on regularly, because he is a master healer, and he's done it repeatedly. And there are a lot of people out there that are suffering from issues that they need not be suffering from, and all it takes, one phone call can really change your life. All you got to do is just pick up the phone, call, get some information. Information is power if you use it.
And it's wonderful to know that we do have a choice. We do have an alternative, because at one time, a lot of us didn't know that this cure is here.
Absolutely.
And now that we do know that, and we're actually getting this information out to people to let them know there is an alternative. There is, you can get a second opinion.
That's right.
And so that's the wonderful news. You know, and it's something that you would always say, Juwanza, concerning
if there is a cure, if there's no cure for every disease out here, then the devil is greater than God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the devil has got a disease out here that there's no cure for, that means that at that moment, at that very moment that the disease is present but the cure is not, that means that at that moment the devil is greater than God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... You know, and I refuse to believe that. I believe that there is a cure for everything out here, that at any moment, there's always an answer. God's always got an answer for anything that the devil's got. And for those who say, well, I don't know about that herb thing, I don't know about that, well, have you researched it? There's an old Chinese proverb, I love it, and it states, no investigation, no right to speak. I'll say that again. No investigation, no right to speak. If you haven't picked up a book personally, not talking to somebody who's told you they read a book, I'm talking about you now. I'm talking to you now. If you haven't read a book talking about vegetarianism or you know, fasting or, you know, herbs or whatever, any of the topics we discussed here today, if you haven't picked up a book or books and done the research, then you can't speak on it. Your words are futile. They're meaningless. If you say, oh, I don't believe in that, well, what are you basing your non-belief on? You have to base your non-belief on something. So if to say, I don't believe that something works, you have to also state why you don't believe that it works. If you can't state why you don't believe it works, then you can't say that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have to have a reason to base your non-belief on. So I say try it. Before you say, hey, it doesn't work, you'd be pleasantly surprised.
And you also can go on the Internet. The Internet, so you don't even have to buy a book today. You can go on the Internet and you can do your research on the Internet as well. So it's a lot of options available for you to, you know, gain the information on the knowledge and just take back the authority and the ownership of your own health.
Mm-hmm.
And not depend on other people to take care of you, but, you know, do the research like Juwanza said and find out for yourself, because some things just make sense.
Absolutely.
Some things just make sense that, you know, and there's evidence to show even that vegetarians tend to live a longer, more healthy, more productive life. They are more calmer, it appears.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting what Coy said, that he associates the diet or meat eating to some of the crimes that's taking place today. And I always wonder, you know, it seemed like it's you know, people seem off balance. A lot of people seem off balance sometimes when you talk to them, and especially as people get older with Alzheimer's beginning to set in and things like that. So it's wonderful to know that we do not have to yield over to sickness and disease, and we can be healthy. We can go on and fulfill our destiny and be strong and healthy and live very productive, fruitful lives. So, again, it was wonderful to hear Coy once again.
Great show. I enjoyed it.
And, again, we look forward to our next show coming up, and thank you again for all of you who listened in to Juwanza for Life.
Thank you so much. We definitely appreciate, love you, and we are not, you know, by any means taking you for granted. You could be doing other things. I mean, it's Sunday afternoon, depending on where you are. You could be doing a lot of things, preparing for your work day tomorrow, and we just want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to spend it with us and our guest. So, until next week.
Until next week.
We love you.
We love you.
And we'll talk to you then. God bless you. Peace and blessings. Enjoy your week, everybody.
Peace.
Peace.